Shalom, welcome to Tehillim Yomi. Today we learn Mizmor Pechet, that's 88. The title is quite elaborate with many references, though we are unsure what they exactly they mean. Shir Mizmor Livnei Korach Laminatzeach Al Nachalat La'anot Maskil Leheman HaEzrachi. A song, psalm for the sons of Korach to the chief musician according to the Machalat La'anot, a Maskil of Heman the Ezrachite. We're familiar with this psalm being a song and authored in the name of the sons of Korach. Al-Machalat, we saw in Psalm 53 and discussed the possibility it comes from the word chole, some kind of sickness. Or perhaps it's a musical instrument, as we've mentioned in the past. La'anot is a new title word. Chacham suggests it means that it's a response, as in the case of Miriam, after Moshe and Israel sang at the Song of the Sea. She and the women responded, Vata'an lahen Miriam. They answered. In addition, it is also a maskil, perhaps relating to intellect. And finally, Heman the Ezrachi, a personality about whom we are unsure, although there's a reference to him, a certain Heman the singer, in the first of Chronicles, Divrei Hayamim 6:18. Now, the final question relates to the term Ezrachi. And we should ask about Heman in our psalm, and Eitan, which is in the Ezrachi, in the next psalm, in 89. It turns out that they were brothers of the Ezrachi family, as can be understood from the verse in 1 Kings 5:11, which speaks of Solomon's wisdom. For Solomon was wiser than all men, even wiser than Eitan the Ezrachite, and Heman, and Chalkol, and Darda, the sons of Machol. And his fame was known in all surrounding nations. Thus we can conclude that Heman the Ezrachi was the brother of Eitan the Ezrachi, and they were contemporaries or of the time that it would be mentioned in the Navi, and they were very, very wise. The psalm begins with a call to God to accept his prayers, his calls day and night. Adonai Elohai Yeshuati, Yom Tsa'akti Balaila Negdecha. O Lord, God of my salvation, I've cried day and night before you. Let my prayer come before you, incline your ear to my cry. He then goes on to explain the difficult position he's in and the reason he needs God to listen to his supplication. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draws near to Sheol. I'm counted with those who go down to the pit. I'm like a man who has no strength. B'meitim chafshi, k'mo chalalim shochve keber, asher lo zachartem od, v'heima miyadcha nigzaru. Free among the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you do not remember anymore, and they're cut down from your hand. Shatani babor tachtiyot machshakim b'mitzolot. You've laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps. Alai samcha chamatecha v'chol mishbarecha inita sela. Your wrath lies hard on me, and you've afflicted me with all your waves. Hirchakta miyuda'ai mimeni, shatani toivot lamo kalu, lo etse. You've put away my acquaintances far from me. You've made me an abomination to them. I'm shut up. I cannot come forth. Eini da'ava mini. Oni karaticha Adonai b'chol yom shitachti elecha kapai. My eye grows dim through affliction. Lord, I've called daily upon you. I've stretched out my hands to you. In this first section, he describes the sorry state where he feels as if he has died, employing the imagery of the netherworld, Sheol, Yor Dibor, Gever Enayal, Shochvi Kever, Bor Tachtiot, Machshakim Nimtzolot. All of these expressions describe his state of mind, thinking himself near dead. And why? Verse 8 speaks of God's wrath. On whom? Rashi thinks it refers to the Knesset Yisrael. He represents all of Israel, the entire congregation. Sforno thinks that wrath is expressed in both the first and second temple destroyed, saying, when he said the wrath, it's referring to God destroying both Batei Mikdash. Radak explains that his feeling of death is actually his experience of being in exile and not enjoying God's presence in Israel. The harsh verses depict a man who himself, or as representative of Israel, is suffering as a result of his sins. God punishes with exile, destruction, and worst of all, estrangement from God, from each other, from Kedusha, from holiness. He concludes a section which began with his cries to God morning and evening in verse 2 with a frightening realization that all his crying has done is ruin his eyes. Eini davamini. What do you do if your cries do not work? How do you pray if you realize that nobody's listening? His answer is, cry harder. Verse 11, Halameitim tase pela imifaim yakumu yoducha sela. Hayisupar bekever chastecha nunatcha beavadon. Hayivada bechoshech pilecha vitzidkatcha beeres nishiya. Will you work wonders to the dead? Shall the shades arise and praise you? Shall your loving kindness be declared in the grave, your faithfulness in Avadon? Shall your wonders be known in the dark? Are your righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? If at the beginning of the psalm he described himself as dead, it was just as a tool to elicit a response from God. After all, the dead do not praise God. Verses 11 to 13 try to drive home the point that there's no logical reason for God to continue this line of suffering for him, because the next step is death, and God surely does not want him dead. Else who will praise him? V'ani elecha Adonai shivati v'avoker v'tfilati tikhadmeka. Often the vav is a contrast to what was just stated, and it's possible. I like to see it as actually a contrast to the following verse. So it says, "Vani elecha Adonai shivati," but I to you, God, call out to v'avoker tfilati tikhadmeka. I in the morning will bring my prayers to you. And then he says, Lama Adonai tiznach nafshi tastir panecha mimeni. But why do you consistently cast off my soul? Why do you hide your face? Why is God forsaking me? Ani v'gova minoar nasati emecha afuna. This is a hard pasuk. I'm afflicted like a poor person and close to death from my youth up. Minoar nasati. I carry your fear of afuna, which I will translate as perhaps. The translation of the word afuna, much debated. It only appears once in Tanakh. Modern day, it means peas, but that has nothing to do here. Here, it must come from some root, but when there's no other place in Tanakh, so we have nothing to compare it to. The source of the word also leaves us perplexed. Rashi suggests that the root is ofanav, means on its basis. And he reads the verse, your fear is settled and based in my heart. Malbim and Rashbam connected to the root pnei, meaning everywhere I go. So your fear is with me wherever I go. Mitsuda finds the word panui, meaning available. Ibn Ezra and Radak, however, suggest that the root is pen, meaning perhaps or maybe. And this, I think, is the most frightening affliction from God, the unknown, the capriciousness of when the terror might strike. Alai avru charonecha biatecha tzimtutani. Sabuni kamayim kol hayom hikifu alai yachad. Hirchakta meni ohavi ohev rea. Your fierce wrath grows over me. Your terrors have cut me off. They surround me daily like water. They close in upon me together. Loving friend and companion have you put far away from me. My acquaintances are in darkness. Miyuda'ai machshach. It's actually a verb. Verses 18 and 19 describe the psalmist's fear and loneliness as a result of his wrath from God. The psalm abruptly ends with the horrifying word machshach, meaning darkening, referring to his current state where he feels abandoned by God and estranged from friends, without hope, with no light, even a flicker to be seen in this tunnel. Amos Chacham suggests that the psalm is a cry of a sick person who sees no hope, whose friends have alienated him, either for fear of catching the sickness or perhaps concern of impurity. It leaves him all alone, wallowing in self-pity, spiraling into a deeper abyss, and the only one he can turn to is God. Powerfully, he has the last word, and that word is darkness, teaching us that we should not always expect a happy ending. Some psalms teach us the harsh reality of a solitary existence for the moment and the scary feelings which consume him. The only optimistic aspect of the song is that he still sings to God. He still hopes to be answered. That is faith.